Hi, this is Rob Harder with the Nonprofit Leadership Audio Series, Making Your World Better. What does it take to be an effective nonprofit leader today? What are the biggest challenges? What are the biggest obstacles? How should nonprofits fundraise in an economy that is constantly changing? All of these reasons combined led me to start the series. It is my hope that through this series, people can learn not only what it takes to be an effective nonprofit organization, but to hear real stories from real leaders who are successfully making a positive impact in their communities. We hope you enjoy these series as together we hear how they're making their world better. Today in the studio is Anne Blomquist. She is the president and co-founder of EATS, E-A-T-S. It is a wonderful nonprofit in Park City. It's been around, we learned, just for the last 3 years. But boy, they're making quick progress and doing a lot of things regarding the school lunch program here in Park City. I encourage you to listen in and lean into this one because there's a lot here. And it's I wish we had, in fact, an hour for this particular show because there's so much about the nutrition that we give our kids and things that need to be changed. And what's so great about living in Park City is that there have been such a great response from the school board and from the community to get around this issue. And so as you listen to Anne today, I think you'll be impressed with how she has shown her commitment and passion to a cause that goes beyond just being a mom and being a nonprofit leader, but something for the entire community. One of the things that I particularly enjoy linking up with EATS on behalf of the Christian Center is that this is not just a program for one segment of our society. This is a program that reaches all kids, because one of the things I'm always advocating for is I want to make sure the low-income families of this community don't get left behind. And so Anne and EATS as an organization, when they go to the school board, they're trying to reach and make school lunch better for all kids in the Park City School District, and it's wonderful. So anyway, there's a lot to say. You will enjoy listening to Anne, and thanks again for listening to the Nonprofit Leadership Show. And great to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Absolutely. And so tell us about EATS. I mean, I know about it, of course, and it's getting much more publicity. It's been on KPCW recently. It's been in the Park Record. But for those maybe in the community that have just heard a little bit about it but don't really know what it's about, tell us about how it started, how long it's been around, and maybe the one thing you're trying to accomplish through EATS.
All right. Well, first of all, EATS stands for Eat Awesome Things at School. And that pretty much says it right there. We're all about educating kids and bringing good quality nutritious food into our public school system here in Park City. We started 3 years ago when my co-founder, Susan Odell, who is a local chef, and I went to the school district and just said, what is going on in our school food system today? We didn't know.
So kind of out of the blue, you just addressed it and just asked them questions.
Right. And for me personally, is because I had just recently moved to Park City and my son was going into the public school system for the first time, and I didn't know what he was going to be eating. So I wanted to know from a personal standpoint. And Susan, from a chef standpoint and from a community standpoint, she wanted to help out.
So what was the response when you went to them initially?
Well, it was great because the Child Nutrition Services Director at the time had just went through some budget cost reductions. And she said, I would love to do all these education programs, but I have no resources. And Susan and I looked at each other and said, well, maybe we could help. What are you trying to do? And at the time, she was moving the school food towards more fruits and vegetables, whole grains, and the kids were seeing new foods come into the school food system, but they weren't aware of why that was happening and why they should be eating that. So her name was Kathleen Brittenden at the time, and she said, I would love to do some cooking classes and do some taste tests, and she was, my dream is to have a school garden.
So, wow. So you're just like, hey, this is a connection right away.
Exactly. We said, well, maybe we can help. And so we literally just put out to the community, we'll have a meeting on this. Anybody interested, come. We had 25 people show up.
Well, I mean, from nothing to 25.
Yeah.
I mean, so you definitely were scratching an itch that was there.
Well, that's exactly it. The community was already ripe for the picking, no pun intended, that they really wanted these types of programs. And the community said to us, yeah, we are here to help. We want to do this. And so it was a true partnership from the beginning with the school district that these programs needed to happen and they wanted to happen. So that was just 3 years ago.
So this is very recent.
Yeah, very recent. But today we have 5 indoor tower gardens in our schools.
Wow.
We have 2 outdoor gardens, one at Ecker Hill and one at Trailside, another one planned for McPolin for the summer school program.
And I'm assuming the kids take care of them, right? These are kids maintained.
Yep. Okay. And it's amazing what kids will eat if they grow it. This is a fabulous story at McPolin, the third grade Spanish teacher. He's growing a salsa garden in his indoor tower garden, and he's growing cilantro and tomatoes and peppers. And then when his math section comes up with fractions, he has a recipe with fractions, and they're going to harvest the garden and make salsa together using fractions. So
that's great educational combination there. Yeah,
exactly.
Fantastic.
It's a hands-on experience that the kids will understand not only food but fractions, and it all comes together. It's just food is such an integral part of our whole community, our whole life. I mean, it's as one person put, you know, it's the basis of the hierarchy of needs.
Right. Sure.
And so we have to make sure we start there. If we start with good nutrition and kids understand this, they're going to learn so much better and be in a position to be able to concentrate. And then when you give them that hands-on experience, they're going to remember it. So it's just fantastic.
It really is. And so talk to me, did you have a program that you had experience with, or is this something you and Susan, maybe others, put together kind of on the spot, if you will?
Well, Susan and I did not have any experience, but there are other school districts throughout the country doing this. There are so many resources online that you can find. The Food Project is one of them. Chef Ann Foundation is another one of them. Just tons of them. And you can go to our website at eatsparkcity.org and be referenced over to a lot of these other resources.
So this is going around the country.
Oh, totally. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't have to reinvent the wheel here, which is the good news. And with Michelle Obama's whole campaign, that has brought it to the forefront as well. And then there's also funding available because
from the federal
that,
level, I'm assuming,
the
right?
Level as well. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. So it sounds like you've had a good reception so far. And I also know that you have had recently met with the school board. Talk about that a little bit. Like, what are your hopes with that? And say a year from now, 2 years from now, what's your dream with where Eats will be?
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's the thing. So we started off with the programs. And what we found was that we had a stall or a lull in the food side of it, as far as what was being brought into the school foods. And we said to the school board, we said, what we're teaching our kids and the environment that we put them in needs to match. So we can't teach them that, you know, don't eat sugar in the morning and then come into school because you'll crash in an hour and you won't be able to concentrate. But then we have kids coming in for school breakfast and we're giving them Cocoa Puffs.
Right.
Okay, so
filled with sugar.
Filled with sugar. And so the messages that we're giving them and then the environment that we're putting in them, they're getting conflicting messages. They don't understand. Or for example, we tell them about fast food and junk food and don't eat chicken nuggets, you know, they're bad for you. And then we feed chicken nuggets at lunchtime.
At lunch.
Now,
right.
Let me tell you that the chicken nugget that we feed them in school is a better chicken nugget than they get at McDonald's because it's a whole piece chicken, not pieced together. It's breaded in whole grains and it's baked and not fried. However, the kid doesn't know the difference.
Right.
Okay.
He says a chicken nugget is a chicken nugget.
A chicken nugget is a chicken nugget. And if school says a chicken nugget is a good lunch for me, then I can go to McDonald's and it's still a good lunch for me.
So, interesting. Right.
So I want to be clear that, you know, we're trying to do the right things by feeding the whole grains and that, but we're not educating the kids on the right things with that type of food in our school system. So that's what we're trying to change now. And that's the message that we went to the school board with. Thanks for supporting our programs. It's been wonderful. We're going along. The community has supported them. We've gotten great funding from partners in the community on the programs. But now it's your job to tell the Child Nutrition Services that the food that we've got right now is good, but it's not good enough. We need to go that next step. We need to get some of the ingredients that we're putting in our foods out of there. We've got 7 ingredients of concern. Another thing we adapted from another school district, or several other school districts, that they're trying to get out. And those things are things like high fructose corn syrup, artificial colors, artificial flavorings, artificial preservatives, bleached flour, antibiotics and hormones, and hydrogenated oils and trans fats.
So how did they respond? I mean, that's a little bit of a, perhaps an indictment. Some people may receive it that way as, hey, we've not had been giving good food to our students here. So how do they take it?
Well, I think when the message was, some of those things are going to be easy to get out of there. Some of them are already out. One is already out. And some of them are going to be more difficult to get out and costly to get out.
Got it.
Okay. And so what the school board said is, yes, we agree. We don't want those things in our school food. We want to improve it. But we need to understand the costs of that. How is that going to happen? And so what they did was they put it back to Child Nutrition Services and the business manager, and they said, we want you to come up with a 3-year business plan with a budget and steps of how we're going to do this and what the finances will look like. And they have to come up with that plan by May 3rd.
May 3rd. Okay. So again, very open, but now it sounds like it's really the rubber meets the road.
Yep.
Let's look at the money and how much it's going to cost and yep. really look for a 3-year plan.
And they didn't say if it's going to cost us, we can't afford it either. They just said, let us know how much it's going to cost. And we said, as East Park City, we can help find funding for that. And as the school board, they can help find funding for it as well. I mean, this really matters to us. With commitment and passion, you can make anything happen, right?
Agreed. Well said.
And I know we can make this happen. And the next step after the school board said we need this, the school Child Nutrition Services came back with a task force. So they're not going off in a hole and developing this thing on their own. They're bringing all the stakeholders together into a task force.
Very smart.
And very smart, because we got to make sure we're going to the same vision.
Right.
Because if they came back with a plan that went to a different end outcome than what we're asking for, we wouldn't get there and we'd be back in the same position. So they're very smart that they're bringing in all the different stakeholders, and it's a tight time frame, but I know we can do it.
Well, that's encouraging, and we have such a great school board, so that's great to hear. And so what you're doing, I think, is very interesting. We've had different people on this show talk about how, as a nonprofit, they seek to influence external systems, is a term being used. So, for example, there's a great book actually out there called Forces for Good. And the authors for that book talk about certain characteristics of effective nonprofits. And a couple of those things I'll just highlight are, number one, influencing government agencies or advocating on behalf of what a nonprofit cares about, in this case, food and education. So talk about that. How have you gone about doing that? Because I think for a lot of nonprofits, maybe even a lot of volunteers that maybe are volunteers at EATS or volunteers at one of the other wonderful nonprofits here in Park City or throughout Utah, they're a little afraid, like avocation. Oh, that's a whole slice of life that I'm just not comfortable with lobbying or whatever, my senator or my representative. Talk about how you've gone about that. It's obviously a very local level. You've gone to the schools. Why was it so important you went there? And then how have you done that? And how would you maybe recommend others to do something similar, maybe not the same topic, but on another topic where they need to talk to government leaders as well?
Well, I think the most important thing when you're dealing with a government situation such as we are is that you understand it. First, go out and do your research and really learn about your program, whatever it is. I've learned so much about the federal food system and government, the school food program on a national level, why it got started and what changes were made through the last 60 years of it.
So you can make your own documentary, sounds like, about it.
It's a fascinating story. If I could give just
sure,
a
absolutely.
Little bit.
Sure, absolutely, yeah, yeah.
The National School Lunch Program actually started in World War II.
Interesting,
and
okay.
And the reason it got started is that because our young men coming out of high school, 18 years old, going into the Army, were undernourished and malnutritioned and thin, skinny, and not great soldiers. And so our military,
so that's what started.
Yeah, our military said, we need to beef up our boys. If we want to have a strong military, we need kids coming out of school, you know, fit. And so that's how it got started. And so they said, we're going to feed them in school where we have control over what they eat and we can provide it for them. And then they had food subsidies and helped with the cost and everything. But then all the lunch ladies, and they were all lunch ladies back then, made made everything from scratch and beefed up our boys, right?
All everything from scratch. Interesting. So that was
everything
back in the day.
Everything from scratch, back in the day. You know, mashed potatoes and meat, and you got it.
Right.
And then in the 80s, the Reagan administration cut the school food budget majorly, drastically.
Okay.
But at the same time, that's when the big food companies were coming up and the industry was changing, and General Mills was doing Hamburger Helper and you know, cake mixes, and everything was becoming
like instant.
Instant, easy. Mm-hmm. Processed foods came in. Here's the preservatives came in. Our food can last longer. And so the budget cuts in a combination with the food industry, who saw a big opportunity with the school lunch program, came together. And so over the next 20 years, gradually the scratch cooking went away and the heat and serve came in.
Okay, so that was in the 80s.
That was in the 80s. Okay, do you know what the number one reason in the year 2000 was why the young men going into the military were rejected? For obesity.
It's so interesting. Full circle almost.
Full circle.
But just the opposite
program,
way, right?
The same program
caused
brought
obesity.
It in.
Interesting.
Caused obesity. So the kids coming out at 18 years old out of our school lunch programs in that income bracket were obese and were rejected from our military. So then...
That's so interesting how that came about.
Isn't that fascinating?
Huh.
So then the Obama administration gets in there and says, okay. And I have no proof that says that the military was part of this, but...
Okay.
Seems to make sense to me that they're going, wait a second, we want a strong military. We got to get our boys back.
In shape, in the sense.
And fit again. So that the whole fitness programs and the school food programs started to change.
Very interesting. So that's where the impetus of it.
Yeah.
So why do you think there's... Okay, so back to the nonprofit, because we could talk forever. That's a fascinating subject.
I know.
So how did you go about with on the local level? And then as a nonprofit, how did you rally the troops, so to speak? No military intended, but how did you get your group together to influence the Park City School Foundation and to get community support? Because it sounds like right from the get-go, you've had community support.
We've had community support from the get-go. And I think the key for us and what really made it happen is our volunteers. And because we had programs where we needed volunteers, and they were fun programs, and just took a little bit of time. So like a taste test. We do a taste test once a month in 5 schools, bring in a locally grown vegetable, and we need 4 or 5 volunteers at each of the schools. So we just had volunteers who would come and have fun doing this, and not the same ones who maybe can't do it every month. But over 3 years of doing it, we've got 150 names on our volunteer list, who people who have been actively involved in something like that.
So they become kind of your cheerleaders, so to speak, for the program.
They're our cheerleaders. But then our kids are the cheerleaders beyond
that.
They go
tell mom and dad what they ate at school. That's smart.
Exactly, because I've got so many stories of, oh, my kid would never try a tomato before. And then you guys brought these sweet ones in from this farmer's market, and his friend said to him, oh, you got to try that. And they tried it. And now I have to go buy them for him.
You know, so interesting. So you got them. You invested, in a sense, in these wonderful tomatoes, brought them to the school at your cost, in other words, to kind of get this going. Okay, so you invested, you put time, you got volunteers.
So I'm going to say the grassroots comes from the kids.
Okay.
So you energize the kids that they're excited about it. They bring it home to the parents. The parents get excited about it. The parents are involved in all different things in the community. They spread the word about it. And then that gets to the other nonprofits who just embraced us. I was floored with how embracing yourself and all the other nonprofits were from the very first meeting I went to. I'm like, oh, another nonprofit in Park City. How am I going to be
received? Right, there's a lot of them.
Right? There's so many of us, you know. And they were wonderful. It's just spectacular.
That's important. You actually networked with other nonprofits, not just community members, other nonprofits.
Nonprofits.
So do you feel like that was critical for you?
Absolutely. And they would give me resources, you know. Oh, have you heard of this? Have you heard of this? And that's the important part. And then the local businesses, the Epic Promise Veil Grant that we just got was a tremendous, and that was amazing, because it's not just about the money with them either, it's the relationship. We've had probably a dozen of their chefs come and do cooking classes with us.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, and the reason why we got the Epic Grant is because of them. The first year we put in, we didn't get it. And the second year we got more than we asked for. And I went to the grant manager and said, how did this happen? She said, it's our employees. They love
you
guys.
They talked it up.
They talked it up. They love working with you. They love what you're doing. They love coming to the cooking classes. And we support what our employees support. And so from that standpoint, not only the nonprofits, but the local restaurants. Whole Foods has been amazing.
Yeah, they're a great supporter.
Oh, yeah, and they're all about the food and the kids. And,
exactly.
And it's been just phenomenal. But getting back to your question about how to work with a government agency.
Yeah, what would you tell other nonprofits
how to go about it? Again, I told the story because I did my research. I understood.
So you did your homework.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think that was really key because otherwise the first thing they say is, you don't really understand, or we can't, and all the reasons why, but we can't do it because. And like, well, I understand all those things. Well, no, you don't understand. We're a standalone. We don't get tax dollars. No, I do understand that.
Because you did all the research.
I did all the research. Mm-hmm. I do understand where you're coming from. Oh, but our lunch ladies don't know how to cook anymore. We don't have the equipment in our kitchens anymore. I understand that. Okay? But these
so you were able to point by point, say, pre-address them in a sense.
We can overcome these things. And here's how another school district did that. And here's some resources we can address that. And
so, very
and
smart
so
again.
So yeah. Come in with some solutions. One of the things I always say is I don't want to be just the trumpeter of the problem.
Right.
I want to be a collaborator of the solutions.
Ooh, I like that. Say that again.
I don't want to be just a trumpeter of the problems. I want to be a collaborator for the solutions.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
And I think that sets them like, oh, you're not just here to beat
you're
me
You're serious
up.
About this,
you're not
right.
Not just here to attack me.
You want to be part of the solution.
I want to be
right.
part of the solution. And even when we went to the school board, we didn't go in and attack. We didn't go in and say, bring in like all the lousy food. We brought in food we wanted to see.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we brought in food from a Vermont school that was a creamy tomato soup that instead of having dairy or cream to make it creamy, it was pureed navy beans. Highly nutritious.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious. Mm-hmm. We brought in whole wheat biscuits and a broccoli salad. And we said, this is the type of food we'd like to see. Rather than like putting people down and saying bashing everything that's there, let's talk about what we want to see.
So it's so smart. Again, being proactive, part of the solution, and bringing something. You're presenting an idea based on what people are doing across the country.
Right.
So smart. And obviously, it's worked so far.
So far.
Well, all right, good.
I am very optimistic. Very optimistic. In 3 years, we're going to be sitting down going, you wish you could go eat at our school.
Exactly. Well, good. Well, then, so if people are listening to this and they want to get involved, either support, mm-hmm. volunteer, maybe do one of those cooking classes or whatever, mm-hmm. how do they get involved?
The best way to find out information is to go to our website at eatsparkcity.org.
Eatsparkcity.org.
Eatsparkcity.org. And on our calendar will be all of the opportunities for volunteering. We always need volunteers. And it's just an enrichment of our organization and of the community to have more and more people volunteering. And you'll just love it. I mean, the kids are so funny and so amazing. And when you walk in, our first cooking class we did at Parley's Park Elementary, we walked in with the stuff and they said, oh, you're going to feed us today? I said, no, you're going to feed you today.
I love it. Turn it around.
Yeah,
right.
They said, we're going to cook. Like, yeah, you're going to cook. You're going to actually, sit down and grate some
love
orange
that.
Peel.
Yeah.
And stuff. And we're not doing it.
Make it hands on and make it, and they like say they create their own feast,
proud.
If you will, right? And they love it because they made it themselves.
And they're so proud of it, and they want to take it home to their parents, and that's so great. I love that too.
Love your model, and thanks so much for being here again. She's the co-founder and president of Eats Park City, eatsparkcity.org. Find out more information. Great having you in the show. And again, if you're more interested, you'd like to have questions, sounds like Anne has all kinds of information. She's a walking encyclopedia about child nutrition and food in school. So Anne, thank you for all you're doing.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob.